This is your KYRS live and local calendar for March 16th through the 19th. Monday, Floating Crowbar at the Moran Prairie Library, Ron Green at Maryhill, Christopher Lucas at Wine and Taps. And
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Oh, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM, also streaming from KYRS.org. I'm your host, Maeve. You are listening to Out and About. Today, we do not have a guest. Instead, you know, it is St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, I am really stoked by, I've been stoked by so many Irish TV shows lately that I've discovered. And of course, I've always been stoked by Irish music. Used to play the tin whistle a lot and do all that stuff. And I'm sitting in the studio right now in my kilt. I know that's not Irish, but you know, I got a little Scottish blood too. And I want to talk a little bit about, well, before I get started on the bulk of the show, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with protests in our town right now. So let's talk about what's going on this week. We've got Get the Ice Out Wednesday. That is 1 to 3 p.m. at the corner of Washington and Cataldo. That's the ICE field office. On Thursday, we have the Visibility Brigade, which you've seen over the freeways holding their signs. And you can help them hold a sign. You can wave. You can bring your own sign, whatever you want to do. Visibility Brigade, no kings, no dictators, no forever wars. From 4:30 to 5:30 this Thursday at the four overpasses over I-90, Regal, Custer, Arthur, and Sherman. On Friday, the 20th, it's Freedom Friday. And Together We Are America, 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. out in the valley at Pines and Sprigg. And that's the peaceful sidewalk rally hosted by the Eastside Gladiators. On Saturday, which is usually the big day, that's the Singing Resistance. And this time it's going to be 12 to 1 p.m. at Clark Park. How exciting that's going to be. And then at 1 o'clock, students are going to have a rally. There's going to be a Students Demand Ice Out of Spokane Rally plus March, 1 p.m. at 4 p.m. And this one's going to start at Clark Park. So you've got, at Franklin Park. So you've got, it's this rally / march is going to march from Franklin Park down to Clark Park, which I think is about a mile almost exactly, if I remember correctly. And that starts at 2 p.m. So if you did the Singing Resistance at Clark Park, you could, at 1 p.m., you could work your way back up to Franklin Park and then be back down at Clark Park. And, and that's going to be, and then once they get at Franklin Park, I would imagine we're going to have the usual Say It Saturday type stuff there. Mondays are always Mikey Mondays, and that is at the bifurcation there on Wendy's, on Division. I believe that's where Ruby and Division come together. Now, this is a big one, and I want to make sure everybody knows about this. There is going to be a Spokane Stands Up Town Hall. You know, as things get bigger and more people have more voices in our protest scene, there seems to be disagreements and ways that people think it should go, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more diverse voices right now. There's some talk, internet chatter about people wanting to have a rally down at Riverfront Park and one at Clark Park on March 24th. on March 28th, excuse me. And so I'm sure that will be part of the conversation. I think just basically looking for the direction of where these protests should go. I mean, there are thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands of people now involved in this. And the war is only going to make it worse, especially when and if he starts killing more of our people. We don't seem to be motivated too much about the unfortunate death of innocent people in Iran. But I would suspect as he kills more and more Americans, people will be joining these protests. And that is going to be, so this Spokane Stands Up Town Hall, it will be virtual. One way you can do it is virtual. At 3:24, 6:30 p.m., there's a link on the event page. At 6 p.m. it starts. But then it says in person, March 25th, there's going to be one at 5 p.m. at 9 Bar. So there's two ways you can join. Virtually on a link at the event page at 6 p.m., which I would imagine is on Facebook. And in person, 3:25, 5 p.m. at 9 Bar. That's 232 West Sprague. Again, that's not this Wednesday, but it will be next Wednesday, 3:24 and 3:25. 3:24 virtually, 3:25 in person. Save the date for No Kings, the third No Kings, at March 28th at Clark Park from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Okay, now I get to get going with the bulk of my show. I am going to play Irish music today, but it's not going to be your typical Irish music, I don't think. It's going to be Irish music that concerns itself more with social movements in Ireland. And I've been thinking a lot about this because, you know, sometimes you hear about people who have a problem with, you know, like, oh, gosh, why do people have to hyphenate their Americanism? You know, they're Native Americans or they are Mexican Americans or African Americans. Why can't they just be Americans? Well, you know what? The truth is we bring our culture with us. And I think that what people are usually saying when they're saying that kind of thing is, why can't they be white Americans? Well, there is no such thing as a culturally a white American. You can be Italian American. You can be Irish American. You can be Scottish American. And today is a big day for Irish Americans. And it is for me because most of my genetic coding is from Ireland, a little bit from Scotland, but it's mostly Irish. And so that is my culture. So I was thinking a lot about this DNA coding of our culture. And, you know, Ireland has a really strong culture of activism, of socialism, of unionism. We'll talk a little bit later about this, hopefully, but the Industrial Workers of the World was started in the United States, but also soon had a chapter in Ireland. And there were, of course, everybody's familiar with the revolution in Ireland to try to make a complete state, to reunify that state. And all, of course, so many shows based upon the Troubles in Ireland. And so there has been this activism for a long time, and that is in my DNA, and it is in the DNA of Irish people in this country, whether they like it or not, it's there. And I was thinking about how salmon, I will get us there, how salmon, they swim upstream, right? And sometimes when that stream gets dammed, blocked, the salmon, of course, they can't swim upstream to spawn anymore. Well, it's weird because generations and generations and generations of salmon pass. And when that dam comes down, guess what happens? Those salmon, because it's in their DNA, the ancestors of the salmon that last swam in that stream to spawn, once that dam has come down, their great, 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 great grandchildren swim up that stream to spawn because it is in their makeup. And I think that's maybe what's happening right now in our country is a lot of us, it is in our makeup to be opposed to fascism, to be opposed to totalitarianism. And, you know, you have Donald J. Trump, who always calls anything that's not fascist socialism or communism. If you are not on the fascist bandwagon with him, you are a socialist or a communist. And, you know, I was thinking about it. Maybe that's not so bad that he says that, because really, is there a better recruiting tool to get people activated in socialism, communism, some other kind of movement than for Donald Trump to be opposed to it? This demented, evil person, for him to be opposed to this, I think is an imprimatur of its goodness. And that's really simplistic, because I'm certainly well aware of the evils of any totalitarian regime, whether it's communism or fascism or socialism. But I'm just saying, he's not doing fascist any favors by him being the face of fascism. All right, so let's, you know, I was going to play, I think I'm talking too much, and maybe we'll come back to it. I was going to play a tune to kind of set things off for this, but let's, you know what, let's go ahead and do it. We're going to play a little bit of music from Wolf Tones, just to kind of a little bit of a nod to St. Patrick, who, you know, he was a gentleman.
St. Patrick was a gentleman, and he came from decent people in Dublin town. He built the church and on it put the steeple. His father was a Callahan, his mother was a Brady. His auntie and O'Shaughnessy, his uncle and O'Grady. Then here's the bold St. Paddy's fist, he was a saint so clever. He gave the snakes and toads a twist and banished them forever. There's not a mile in Erin's Isle where the dirty vermin musters. Where'er he put his dear 4 foot, he murdered them in clusters. The toads went up, the frogs went pop, slap paste into the water, and beasts committed suicide to save themselves some slaughter. Then here's the bold St. Paddy's fist, he was a saint so clever. He gave the snakes and toads a twist and banished them forever. Still much higher than the boat, sir. 'Twas on the top of this high hill St. Patrick preached the sermon. He drove the frogs into the bogs and banished all the vermin. Then here's the bold St. Paddy's fist, he was a saint so clever. He gave the snakes and toads a twist and banished them forever. No wonder that those Irish lads have been so gay and frisky. For sure, St. Pat, he taught them that as well as making whiskey. No wonder that the saint himself should understand distilling. His mother kept a sheeting shop in the town of Inniskillen. Then here's the bold St. Paddy's fist, he was a saint so clever. He gave the snakes and toads a twist and banished them forever. Then here's the bold St. Paddy's fist, he was a saint so clever. He gave the snakes and toads a twist and banished them forever.
All right, that was the Wolf Tones with St. Patrick Was a Gentleman. And, you know, I think what I really like about this song is that there is a Christian element to it, of course, because it's St. Patrick, but also it is those attributes that are universal goods of being in community with each other and taking care of each other and being opposed to evil and all that stuff. And it's lighthearted, right? I mean, it's very cool. You know, there is such a long history of communalism in Ireland. Back in 1831, there was something called the Rallaghine Commune, and it was an experiment in communism that lasted 2 years, where it was set up on a big piece of land, and all the people there, they lived in community. They weren't allowed to use tobacco or alcohol. There was actually a diphtheria epidemic that went through there. And people wound up in this commune surviving because they had really good hygiene, and they were really good at sewage type stuff, and they did great stuff. Although what happened was the owner of the land who let them do this got into a little gambling debt trouble, and he wound up having to sell it. And their commune was over, I think it was like 3 years. Okay, so now this next song we're going to play is, let's just play it, and then we'll talk about it. This is a song by the Chieftains with Sinead O'Connor singing, and it is, let's say it's the Foggy Dew, and it's a beautiful song, one of my favorite songs. Here we go.
City fair. the foggy dew.
Okay, that of course was the Chieftains with Sinead O'Connor, the foggy dew. And, you know, Sinead O'Connor still has, I would say, the best female voice in singing. And maybe that is my genetic coding being plucked, hearing that, her voice. And of course, you know, a lot of people forget the grief that she got from being on Saturday Night Live and tearing a picture of the Pope. Because, like I said, activism is a part of being Irish. And she wound up paying a price for that big time. But I think, you know, I think she sings about people who pay big prices for things. So, and that, of course, was, this song was written in response to the 1916 Easter Rising and the quest for Irish independence. And it's, we need to really remember, too, that this was also during this time, there was a big fallout from Ireland being involved, being Irishmen being conscripted into the British Army to fight during World War I, which they felt like they had really had. Why should they fight for the crown when they were being put down? So, yeah, so that's a big part of that, too. And that was 1916. And here we are again. So, again, I hope that these songs might... anybody, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if everybody doesn't have a little bit of Irish blood in them, that this isn't reaching plucking some strings deep in your heart. We're going to play, I'm going to play my underwriting notices, and then we're going to get right back into some music. So here we go. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
Okay, we're going to jump back into it. And now this next song, I think it's kind of interesting because with this Easter Rising, which took place in April, a lot of the groups that were going to take place in this rebellion really was they used St. Patrick's Day parades in Ireland to kind of serve as a public dress rehearsal for the revolution, that they were able to get people together, get people organized, probably had them marching, and a show of force. And so they were able to kind of use these parades during St. Patrick's Day, which I don't think Ireland does St. Patrick's Day probably as big as, maybe they do now, but I think it kind of waned, you know. But back then they must have done it big, because they used these for dress rehearsals in Dublin, Cork, and Limerick. And that was also to protest the conscription that was going on and to, of course, plot the upcoming insurrection against British rule. During this, the Easter Rising, which took place that April after that, 500 people were killed and 2,600 people were wounded. So we're going to play a little bit about the backlash, I guess, from that. And this song is called Wearing of the Green. And again, we've got the Wolftones. They've got probably one of the best catalogs, I would say, of Irish protest music.
Oh, Paddy dear, and did you hear the news that's going round? The shamrock is by law forbid to grow on Irish ground. St. Patrick's Day no more, we'll keep
his colors can't be seen. For they're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. I met with Nabbertandy and he took me by the hand. He said, how's dear old Ireland and how does she stand? She's the most distressful country that you have ever seen. For the hanging men and women, for the wearing of the green. For the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green. They're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. And since the colour we must wear is England's cruel red, sure Ireland's sons will ne'er forget the blood that they have shed. You may take the shamrock from your hat and cast it on the sod, but 'twill take root and flourish there, no wonder foot is trod. My father loved his country and sleeps within its breast, while I that would have died for her must never so be blessed. Those tears my mother shed for me, how bitter they had been, if I had proved a traitor to the wearing of the green. For the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green. They're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. But if at last our colours should be torn from Ireland's heart, her sons with shame and sorrow from the dear old Isle will part. I've heard a whisper of a land that lies beyond the sea, where rich and poor stand equal in the light of freedom's day. Oh, Ireland, must we leave you driven by a tyrant's hand, and seek a mother's blessing from a strange and distant land, where the cruel cross of England shall never more be seen. And in that land we live and die, still wearing Ireland's green. For the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green. They're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. For the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green. They're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green.
Okay, that was Wearing of the Green by the Wolftones. Now, this next song is called The Shores of America. And this one is kind of hard to pin down as far as when it got, when it first was sung. There were so many different diasporas from Ireland to America. And it's, you know, in the 1830s, there was a diaspora. And during that one, Irish came over and they were quite a, they made up a lot of the laborers. And back then, you know, we talk a lot about race and how really race is sort of a construct. And it really wasn't until we had African Americans here as slaves that the concept of separation by race took place. The Irish were lumped in with African Americans. They were both seen back. Some people called them that they called labeled the Irish people at the time Negroes turned inside out, in quotes, or smoked Irish. And they were actually called black, the Black Irish, in the 18s and 30s and 40s. And you know what happens is eventually these groups wind up, you know, we look like we're, you know, our accents all change. We all look the same. Maybe we change our Irish names and now we can blend in. And so a lot of Irish folks became assimilated into society and kind of turned their back on their social roots, turned their backs on from whence they had came, turned their backs on a church, which was really about taking care of neighbors and being a social force for good in a place that was not very socially conscious. And so, so that's happened. That happened when people came to America. And let's go ahead and play that song, The Shores of America. There's lots, so many good versions of this one, but I really liked this one by Johnny McAvoy.
I'm bidding farewell to the land of my youth.
It's not for the ones of employment I'm gone. It's not for the love of fame. That fortune bright may shine over me and give me a glorious name. It's not for the ones of employment I'm going on this weary and stormy sea, but to seek a home for my own true love on the shores of America. And when I am bidding my lass farewell, the tears like rain will blind. To think of my friends in my own native land and the home I'm leaving behind. But if I'm to die on a foreign land and be buried so far, far away, no fond mother's tears will be shed o'er my grave on the shores of America.
Yes, The Shores of America by Johnny McAvoy. That's an old one, too. That one, again, people really don't know when that got started. I think it was 1931 is when that was actually trademarked, actually recorded as an official song, I guess. So there's lots of different lyrics to that one. You know, when the Irish did come here, especially in the late 1800s, they became really active socially because that is who they were. And their religion at the time, Catholicism at the time, was actually a very socially active religion. I wouldn't say it was probably like the liberation theology that happened later on down in South America, or in Central America rather, but it was a religion that taught people to justice, that justice was required. And so many of the early Irish became involved in the labor movement. They were big founders of the IWW, especially James Connolly, and we'll talk about him a little bit later. But you know, there was a lot of backlash. Like I said, a lot of signs that said no Irish for being hired, no Irish allowed in the building, all of that. And so there was a lot of injustice facing these immigrant communities, especially among the Irish and the Italians. The Chinese, everybody who is an immigrant to the United States has felt this. But the Irish were really instrumental in organizing the IWW. And, you know, there was a guy named Joe Hill. And Joe Hill was not Irish. Joe Hill was Swedish-American. But he worked with a lot of Irish folks, and he was quite a prolific songwriter, Joe Hill was. He took a lot of hymns, which I love. I love the wobbly songs for the IWW. He took hymns and then changed the words to basically be pro-labor union. Took a lot of the Salvation Army hymns, especially, and then changed those to pro-labor, pro-IWW songs. And so they were pretty funny as well, and got under the skin of many a long-haired preacher. So, you know, the Irish, they brought a tradition with them of revolutionary anti-imperialism and experience in dangerous work. So they fell into the kind of professions that the IWW was trying to represent. And there was one Irish-American woman that Joe Hill was particularly smitten with and wrote a song about her. And we're going to play this song right now. And of course, I'm talking about Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, who was quite a character and quite a force of nature. So here is the song, The Rebel Girl. And this is off the album Songs of Joe Hill. A great book, by the way, is The Man Who Never Died, a biography of Joe Hill, which is a beautiful thing to read if you ever get a chance. So, again, we've got a Swedish-American allying with Irish-Americans to try to make things better. And I think that that is in our DNA from whatever culture you come from until it gets wiped out from people who worship an economic system in this country. You have in your DNA somewhere the desire to have, you know, a place where everybody is represented, democracy, and democracy in the workplace. And that's really what socialism is democracy in the workplace. All right, here we go. Here's the Rebel Girl.
There are women of many descriptions, in this queer world, as everyone knows. Some are living in beautiful mansions and are wearing the finest of clothes. There are blue-blooded queens and princesses who have charms made of diamonds and pearls. But the only and thoroughbred lady is the Rebel Girl. That's the Rebel Girl, that's the Rebel Girl. To the working class, she's a precious pearl. She brings courage, pride, and joy to the fighting rebel boy. We've had girls before, but we need some more, and the industrial workers of the world. For it's great to fight for freedom with a rebel girl. Yes, her hands may be hardened from labor, and her dress may not be very fine, but a heart in her bosom is beating that is true to her class and her kind. And the grafters in terror are trembling when her spite and defiance feel her. For the only and thoroughbred lady is the Rebel Girl. That's the Rebel Girl, that's the Rebel Girl. To the working class, she's a precious pearl. She brings courage, pride, and joy to the fighting rebel boy. We've had girls before, but we need some more, and the industrial workers of the world. For it's great to fight for freedom with a rebel girl.
Okay, that was the Rebel Girl, sung by Joe Glazer. Of course, written by Joe Hill of the IWW. Joe Hill, who was executed by the state of Utah, by the way, framed for murder and executed. All right. So let's talk about James Connolly a little bit. He was one of the organizers of the Industrial Workers of the World, and he came from Ireland, and he was here between the years 1905, 1910. Didn't make it out to Spokane. I looked, but it looked like he stayed on the whole, on the East Coast. Here, you know, in the Northwest, of course, the IWW was really concerned with mining and with the timber industry. But back East, it was factory stuff. And that was kind of what they did in Ireland, too, was factory stuff. And so that's what his main concern. He went back to help in Ireland and was very active after 1910. He went back, was very active in the 1916 Easter Rising, and was executed for his work in that. He was executed along with 15 others for their participation in the Easter Rising. So we're going to play, this is a song that they wrote to commemorate him. And then, you know, we're going to go in, after this song, we're going to move a little bit into the future. If you're getting, these songs are seeming kind of slow to you, I want you to, you know, I want you to know that this kind of spirit isn't something that existed back then and doesn't exist anymore. This is a spirit that exists, like I said, in our DNA, but it also exists in the voices of many popular artists. And we're going to get to a couple of those in just a bit. But right now, let's do the James Connolly Irish Citizen Army by Gary Ogg. Of course, like I said, there are so many different versions of this song too, but I really like this James Connolly version. Here we go.
Okay. Marching down Sackville Street with a starry plum on high, here comes the citizen's army with its fist raised to the sky. Leading them is a mighty man with a mad rage in his eye. My name it is James Connolly, and I didn't come here to die. To fight for the rights of the working class, the small farmer too. To protect the proletariat from the bosses and the screws. Hold on to your rifles, boys, don't give up the dream. For the working class economy, liberty. Chant goes of all citizens, the system is a curse. An English boss a monster and an Irish one even worse. He'll never lock us out again, and here's the reason why. My name it is James Connolly, and I didn't come here to die. Fight for the rights of the working class, the small farmer too. To protect the proletariat from the bosses and the screws. Hold on to your rifles, boys, don't give up the dream of a republic for the working class, economy, liberty. Over in the GP, over the bullets whizzing by, Pearson, Sean McDermott, bidding each other goodbye. Up steps our citizens' leader with his fist raised to the sky. My name it is James Connolly, and I didn't come here to die. To fight for the rights of the working class, the small farmer too. To protect the proletariat from the bosses and the screws. Hold on to your rifles, boys, don't give up the dream of a republic for the working class, economy, liberty. We fought them to a standstill as flames lit up the night. Then a bullet pierced our leader, then we gave up the fight. We shot him in Kilmainham jail, they'll never stop his cry. My name it is James Connolly, and I didn't come here to die. But to fight for the rights of the working class, the small farmer too. To protect the proletariat from the bosses and the screws. Hold on to your rifles, boys, don't give up the dream of a republic for the working class, economy, liberty.
All right, that was the song James Connolly. And I see the phone's ringing. I'm sorry, I can't answer the phone. I'm here by myself. So that's James Connolly by Gary Ogg. I do have some Pogues I wanted to play, but I might have to skip over that for the next one. This song, next one is Flogging Molly, A Song of Liberty. And I kind of want to make this jump to show you that people are still being moved by the plight of others in other countries and our own country, people who are not themselves. If you haven't noticed, the thing about this administration right now is the lack of empathy. In fact, they say empathy is evil. Of course, they are of a religion that we've never seen before. They say that empathy is not good. They do not understand why people would do anything that doesn't benefit themselves, as, you know, witnessed, you know, what are all these people doing at this No Kings protest? Obviously, these hundreds of thousands must have been paid to go there, and these signs must have been made by somebody else, because they don't understand that people would stand up for other people besides themselves. And that is in our DNA, unless you let this power of darkness smother it. And I think that that's why you saw so much drug use in the first Trump administration. I would be not surprised if the drug use there is rampant as well this administration, because you can, the only way to kill those feelings of compassion, of empathy, of justice, of honor, is by drowning them with alcohol or smothering them with drugs. And so I want to play some music now that sort of shows you that, yes, this is still going on, and there are still musicians that are doing this. This next song is A Song of Liberty by Flogging Molly, and they were sort of they're one of the first kind of bands that tied the punk movement to the Pogues were really big in that, but also Flogging Molly were kind of more of a heavy sound, I would say. And this song was written also kind of as a nod to the Ukraine situation, not how bad it is now, but right at the beginning when Vladimir Putin had invaded and took over Crimea and all that. So here we go. Song of Liberty by Flogging Molly.
He's weeping all alone. Wants something more to feed him. Feels he hasn't got a hope. But over on the north side, it's all about to hit. No one realizes what's about to happen here. Mary's in familiar ways, about to drop a kid. Her romance sipping gravy from an empty biscuit tin. The Brotherhood are gathering, they're faking to appear. The citizens divided, all they want is to be heard. But there was Clark, James, Conley, Plunkett and Pierce. Cat, McDonough, Dermot had no fear. Volunteers together, insurrection they believe. Could be the only answer all to hear our nation sing. This is a song of liberty, yeah. Together rising, unity. One man falls, unite and we shall be. This is a song of liberty, inside the GPO. There was nothing left but rubble with the burning came the smoke. Kamena may be waiting, the fate against the wall. Execute their empty body, all you did was free our souls. This is a song of liberty, yeah. Together rising, unity. One man falls, unite and we shall be. This is a song of liberty, a song of liberty. Liberty, a song of liberty, this is a song of liberty, liberty. So the next time you drink a porter from your comfy old chair, don't forget the men and women, 'twas the blood for you they shed. Remember Pearl Danny and Mary with her brood. Don't take the life for granted, it was all they ever knew. But there was Clark, James, Conley, Plunkett and Pierce. Kent, McDonough, Dermot had no fear. Volunteers together, surrender they believed. Could be the only answer all to hear our nation sing. This is a song of liberty, yeah. Together rising, unity. One that falls, unite and we shall be. Yeah, this is a song of liberty, yeah. Together rising, unity. One that falls, unite and we shall be. This is a song of liberty, liberty.
By its valor and discipline, and by the readiness of its children to sacrifice themselves for the common good.
Okay, somebody was trying to call me, and I was pushing buttons like a monkey on the phone, and I guess I don't know how to operate the phone. I thought I did. I was trying to pick up and nothing was going on. If you want to text me, if you know me, know my number, text me and I'll listen to what you have to say. Let's see. We'll do some Dropkick Murphys and then I might have to cut them a little bit short because I want to close with a Pete Seeger song. And here we go. Dropkick Murphys. Chucky darn, that's going to be about all the time we have for St. Patrick's Day music with a social message. And if you feel like maybe, gosh, I don't know, maybe my DNA has not been activated by these songs. Maybe everything is just fine. Maybe I don't need to go look up what's going on in Spokane at Spokane Stands Up on Facebook or Indivisible Spokane. Look at their website and see what's going on as far as protesting. You know what? Maybe you just aren't looking at the news or listening to the news or knowing what's really going on, because so much of what, if you're reading the papers, you're not going to see it. If you are watching CNN, you're not going to see the craziness. You know, you're not going to see those things. But if you listen to Amy Goodman, who is on right after me, maybe Jim Hightower is talking right now. Maybe he'll be talking in a minute. But after Jim Hightower and after and then after him is Amy Goodman with Democracy Now. And I promise you, you will hear things that you had no idea what's going on. Things that are vetted. These are not lies. This is not AI. This is real. And then perhaps these songs will, you know, they've lodged in you, and perhaps you'll want to do something then. All right. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. You are listening to Out and About, and I will see you next week with a guest.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I've just been updated by the Chief of Staff that the Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council, Lara Jani, and the head of the besieged Iran's Central Repression Apparatus, Soleimani, who is responsible for the massacre of the protesters, was eliminated last night.
As the U.S.-Israeli war in Iran enters its 18th day, Israel claims it's assassinated two of the most powerful figures in Iran, the security chief, Ali Larijani, as well as the head of the besieged military. We'll speak with Trita Parsi of the Quincy Institute and Harrison Mann, a former U.S. intelligence officer who resigned from the army over the U.S.-backed Israeli war on Gaza. Then Cuba is facing a nationwide blackout as President Trump again threatens to take over the island.
I do believe I'll be the honor of having the honor of taking Cuba. That'd be a good honor. That's a big honor.
And then to Texas, where 8 anti-ICE protesters have convicted on terrorism charges for taking part in a demonstration outside the Prairieland ICE jail in Texas. They each face at least 15 years in prison. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military says it's killed the Iranian security chief, Ali Larijani, as the U.S. and Israel continue massive airstrikes across Iran. Larijani was among the most powerful figures in the Islamic Republic and helped direct nuclear negotiations with the U.S. and other Western powers. His reported assassination comes just days after he joined senior Iranian officials in a march through central Tehran in a public act of defiance against the U.S.-Israeli war. Israel also announced it had assassinated the besieged force commander, Ghulam Reza Soleimani, in a separate airstrike. In the city of Iraq, officials say a U.S.-Israeli coalition bombing killed a three-day-old infant and his two-year-old sister, along with their mother and grandmother. In Tehran, Iranian Red Crescent workers searched for survivors through the rubble of damaged homes after an airstrike on Monday.